It is time for another edition of Silence Broken, our weekly conversation where we keep the issue of intimate partner violence front and center as we work to raise awareness and combat this terrible crime. With me, as always, Erin Lee, Executive Director of Lanark County Interval House. Hello, Erin.
Well, good morning, Bob.
Wanted to mention right off the top that we finally have the website set up for this podcast, and you can find it at lanarkleadstoday.ca. You go to the local news tab, and the drop-down menu will be there, and you can just see Silence Broken. Click on that, and all our episodes are now up online if you missed one or if you wanted to listen to another one again. So pretty easy to do, isn't it, Aaron?
It's really easy to navigate, and we are so grateful that we now have a way for people to catch up and to re-listen to something, or if something pops into your head and you're like, I think I heard something about that, you can go back and take a look. So that's great.
Yeah, and also still online are the 86 conversations we had about each one of the recommendations from the CKW inquest. So yeah, you definitely want to take a look at that too. If you're ever looking for you want one of the recommendations to be explained, Aaron did an excellent job of doing so. So you can find that resource online. Now, you had mentioned catching up, and that's what we're going to do in this particular episode. The 16 days of activism are underway. And we are certainly moving into this. We're recording this, as all podcasts are, on the 3rd. So we've got another week, really, that is taking place here for these 16 days of activism. Maybe give us a bit of a recap.
Well, we've had lots of things going on. Simply wear purple day and send in a picture of you wearing purple, which is always something that we do. I visit Trinity United Church on the Sunday before December 6th, which typically is the first week of Advent, and I speak to the congregation, and that was this past Sunday, and it was, as always, an awesome experience there, and we talked about lots of things. Posted a new video called Men as Allies, and we had a number of our Rona supporters, as well as a number of local OPP officers who engaged in that video because everybody's part of the solution. As most nonprofits know, we had Giving Tuesday yesterday. Today, you can go to Jazzy's for Girl Power Trivia, and that's this evening in teams of four. So, Lanark County Interval House will have one team there this evening. Tomorrow, we have the See It, Name It, Change It public education piece, and that's an opportunity for people to learn a little bit about what the campaign is all about. Really important this Saturday is, of course, December the 6th, which is the National Day of Remembrance and Action based on the 1989 Montreal Massacre that took 14 women's lives at the hands of an abuser who targeted those women because they were women. And December 6th is December. December 6th. So, we will be in Perth at 1 o'clock at the Women's Monument doing an afternoon vigil so that we don't interfere with all of the amazing things happening in our community for the holidays and lifting spirits. So there's lots of stuff going on, and 16 days ends on the 10th of December. And the 10th of December is Persons Day. And that day is significant in our country and in our province. And it ends that day. And we hope that people will continue to take action. And we're encouraging people to do a little bit of a tour of the art pebble mosaics that we have in three different places in our community. So lots and lots of stuff going on.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned the mosaics and, the official vigil, if you will, being in Perth. If you can't make it to that one, these mosaics are incredible places for silent reflection, just to go and perhaps pay respects for a past victim. This is why they're there. They're there to encourage conversation. They're there to recognize. And sometimes people don't feel comfortable going into such a public setting.
I think that that is absolutely true. And when we were working with Redefine Arts through the pandemic and before the pandemic, it was really important that people were engaged in building those mosaics and creating the design and inspiring the messaging that comes with the mosaics. So they are there in your community in Smiths Falls. There's a purple bench. You can sit and take a quiet moment of reflection. It's right beside Town Hall. In Carlton Place, it's behind Town Hall or beside Town Hall and right by the water. Very lovely space as well to reflect and to give yourself permission. Lots of times we don't give ourselves permission to just be in a moment of reflection and thinking about those enduring violence, those who have been taken by violence, and the action that we can do, and sometimes the frustration that we feel when we know family members or friends who are navigating and are still enduring.
In that town square in Smiths Falls, right now they've got their massive light display that is up. And I think that's great because people will go there, they will see this mosaic, and people who don't know about it will be like, well, what's this? And of course, they can learn about it. So it's just another way that people will be exposed sort of indirectly, but at the same time, it's a you know, it's very nice to have that type of a celebration taking place that close, there we go, to the mosaic.
The reality is that when we positioned and we talked to each of the towns and decided where they should go, so in Mississippi Mills, it's behind Old Town Hall, we picked places that are busy and that are visited by community and that are easily accessible so that it could be part of the town, right? Just as you said, it's part of every celebration, it's part of every activity that happens in Town Square. There's a little plaque at every one of them that kind of explains what it's all about. So it is important that we make sure that we intentionally insert these issues in our town so that, we're having the conversation and not avoiding.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, it is a safe space for sure. Let's talk a little bit more about December 6th coming up. This was, I think I was 12 years old when the massacre at École Polytechnique took place, but I remember it. It was one of those things, it was one of those news stories, like at the time, the Challenger exploding. You know, it was one of those news stories that has stuck with me. I can remember the images and that I was seeing on the TV that night. And it's amazing. But it wasn't until I grew older that I came to understand fully what had happened. And I think the nation, certainly the younger generation at the time, has done exactly that and come to recognize and to honor those victims and to raise awareness for the cause all at the same time.
Yeah, I think December 6th has become synonymous with the need for people to feel connected. And I think that we're all connecting the realities of what we're seeing in communities with what happened in 1989. When we think about 1989, really it was catastrophic. It was in, an institution that supports education. It was 14 women who were targeted because they were becoming and studying engineering, so typically not a female dominated kind of profession, and all of those realities around the stereotyping and the anger and the power dynamics and institutions of education and all of those things are still relevant today. So when we think about, our efforts around Indigenous communities and thinking about reconciliation and decolonization, when we're thinking about acts of violence that are happening in local high schools and the need for us to do education, and when we're thinking about, gender-based violence overall and the number of femicides and having big discussions about femicides are down this year, but calls to police are up this year. It's really important that we recognize that the themes that existed in 1989 around the catastrophic tragedy at École Polytechnique are still themes that we're talking about today. So it is important. And for us, we honor and we recognize and we say their names on December 6th. And we also say say the names of local women who have been taken at the hands of violence in recent years. So folks like Chantal LeBlanc and also Rose Kerwin, so it is important that we connect those dots for folks that, while things are improving, some of those themes and realities are still the conversations we need to be having in our homes and in at our dining room tables and in our workplaces.
I think also too, a lot of the young people will see reports of violence against women in education from other countries. They'll say, "Well, that doesn't happen here," and then they get a stark reality check when they say it did happen here, and it does happen here. It continues, and there are still people out there who think that way. When they learn this, and they are learning about it in school, they're learning about it through organizations such as yours. But when they learn this, I really think it sets them on a different path of reality and the way that they think, especially if they're students themselves.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that the notion of that happens elsewhere and doesn't happen in my community or my backyard is still something that's a bit pervasive. And I think that, statistically, like if we look at for every 1,000 sexual assaults that are reported, 640 of them didn't lead to charges. Right, that is a number that young people need to use to know, and we need to be doing something about that. For every 1,000 sexual assaults that are reported, 141 did lead to charges, but they never ended up going to court. Right, there is work for us to do because sexual assault victims are not being validated. And we've seen that with what happened in London, and we're seeing that in terms of the challenges. But sexual assault is really important. Of the 114 cases out of 1,000 that went to court, none of them resulted in a guilty verdict. Right? So it's stuff that's going on in our community. 4.7 women in Canada have been sexually assaulted since they turned 15 years of age. Those are stark numbers that are facts, and those are realities that our community, young, old, all genders, need to be aware of because it's one part of the equation of what we need to be doing in terms of taking action and thinking about where are we at and how can we all be part of those solutions and naming things when we see it. And challenging things so that things can be different.
And a big part of the 86 recommendations that we've talked about many times was getting that comfort level for the victim to do things like come forward, and it's a matter of everyone working together so that that victim will hopefully quickly realize that they have allies who are going to help them through it.
I think it's very interesting that you say that, Bob, because most recently, the Ontario Association of Interval and Transition Houses released the annual number of femicides in Ontario. And the annual femicides, the year goes from November the 25th of one year to November 25th of the following year, because that's the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. And so this year, the number is down. The number is 43. Where last year, I think we were 64, and the year before that, I think we were 62. So we have this lower number, yet we have reports from police that calls for service are increasing. So, somebody asked me very pointedly on the weekend, what do you make of that? And what does that mean? And I would like us to think about reframing that into maybe this is a good problem to have. If we're seeing less murders and less femicides, but we're seeing an increase in calls for service, maybe that means that public education, engagement, radio and media shows, all the work that we're doing, governments talking about it, municipalities passing the epidemic, maybe in fact, the intention is working, and maybe victims and families and communities are being validated and they're accessing their rights and they're calling sooner. Maybe that allows for earlier intervention. Maybe they're recognizing I have the right to live a life free from violence and this doesn't have to continue. And somebody, by gosh, somebody's going to support me through this. And they're making the call. And maybe it's several calls because they're calling earlier. And maybe this is not the worst problem for us to have. And maybe this actually demonstrates that all the efforts that we're making are working. And if it means more calls and earlier interventions, it means in the end, there's a decrease of 30% this year in femicides, and we can continue to see a decrease next year and the year after that, then maybe, in fact, what we're doing is good work. And all the education and the efforts we're making, and as you said very eloquently, that people know that they're going to be supported through the process, maybe that, in fact, is actually coming to fruition and making a difference. We shall see, but at this time, I prefer to frame it in that way because I think it is important to validate the courage that we see daily from victims of violence who are speaking out, speaking up, and I think the See It, Name It, Change It campaign is really forging ahead, and we're going to make some changes to that in the coming year, and I think that we're just going to keep doing what we're doing to provide service, to believe, to validate survivors and to work across our systems with police services, victim services, and others to make sure that we continue to do our best.
As I have watched the Smiths Falls, for example, police releases over the years, and I've been doing it for well over a decade now, just seeing, especially in the last 3 or 4 years, the number of IPV calls and how they have increased. And I've spoken to Sean Keogan about it and Chief Empey about it too. And I think they agree with you. People are, and this is certainly something that we've talked about before. If people are feeling more comfortable, then yes, it's very odd to say, but it's a positive that they're getting those early interventions sooner. So I agree with you 100%. Now, as we do with every episode, we are going to close with Aaron Lee's final thoughts. So I turn it over to you, Aaron.
My final thought for today would be that as you navigate the 16 days of activism, think about the way that you can listen to survivors. Think about the way that you can continue to validate voices in your family. Think about the courage that you might need to have in investing in an act of prevention to talk to your neighbor or talk to your sister about what you're observing and what you see happening, and think about how you can continue to be part of making a difference and ending the issues of violence in our community. Thank you all for your courage and your support.
You can catch every episode of our podcast, Silence Broken, at lanarkleadstoday.ca. Real easy to get to. Go to the local news tab, and it is the third one down, Silence Broken. Click there, and you're going to get this podcast and all of the others as well. Aaron Lee, thank you so much. Your thoughts and your opinions, and really your wisdom on the subject shines through once again. It's a pleasure, and we'll do it again next week.
You are most welcome, and I think that this is an amazing demonstration of community-led partnerships and working together. And I'm so proud of the work that we're doing with MyFM, and our local media community in making sure we keep the discussion going. And I'm happy to be part of this process. Thanks.
For Aaron Lee, I'm Bob Perreault. It's Silence Broken. Lanark leads today.ca.